Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Swefansale Afropolitans. I was fetching my guest for tonight's show. Welcome, Rami Chwene. I am so happy. We'll just jump right into it. I am so happy that you are here. I'm happy that you came into studio. I must say it's not often that we get studio guests, so this is very special. So thank you so much. Afropolitans, Rami Chwene is on the show tonight, and she'll be sharing what she's been up to. We all love her. She's a much beloved actress, businesswoman. And we'll be finding out what Rami has been doing in 2020 and, of course, in 2021.
Because a conversation a day is exactly what the doctor ordered. Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Afropolitans, it is a Wednesday evening, and every Wednesday we profile someone special, and tonight is no different. We have actress, businesswoman Rami Chwene in studio, and she's here to share what she's been up to in the last year or so. If you've missed any of our shows, don't forget that you can go to our website, kayafm.co.za, and you can catch our podcasts on FM Rewind. And if you want to listen to the show, you can listen on DSTV on channel 861. You can also download our Kaya FM app and catch the show there. Rami, welcome to Sidebar Cindy. Great to see you. I haven't seen you in about 2 years. I think I last saw you 2 years ago.
Yes.
We recorded something together, and that's the last time I saw you. But, social media, I follow you every day. I know what you've been up to, and it's great. It's great. And I'm looking forward to asking you a few questions about mothering, because, Rami, my daughter turned 12.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
going through the most. you're open and you're honest about everything. So yeah. I just need some tips on how to bring up a tween. It's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. It's a pay as you go kind of a vibe. There's no manual.
There is no manual.
It's kind of like a couple of guides, because I was just thinking yesterday, just how when I went to boarding school, I went to boarding school when I was 10.
That is so young.
That is very, very young. And I remember how excited I was. Like, you know what, even when my parents left, it was that thing, bye, like I didn't even look back. And yesterday I took my 14-year-old, well, she's turning 14, to boarding school. And the way she was so excited, and I couldn't blame her excitement, because I was like, that was me. I remember that was me 56 years ago, waving at my parents with my, you know.
I'm 10 years old.
I know.
And how was that whole experience? I mean, like, who was washing your clothes?
We washed our own clothes. I mean, yeah, it was quite a life. And, it was one of the best decisions for me. I really, really enjoyed boarding school. Like, I did, like, even when, I mean, the food was not that great.
Boarding school. I was also in boarding school. The food is never great.
It is never great. You know, when baked beans are your friend and peanut butter, you know, there's like late tea that was like kind of left over in the afternoon, all those kind of things. But I would never trade that experience for anything.
And how long were you in boarding school?
I was there for 7 years. Mm. Yeah.
And well, take us back to your childhood. I mean, where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Seshego. That's where I grew up. And eventually my family moved to Lebowakgomo. And after that, then I went to boarding school. And then after boarding school, I came to Joburg. And here we are.
And in Joburg.
Like, I literally left home when I was 10. To put it in a very basic way.
And what attracted you to Johannesburg? What were you coming here for?
I don't know. I've always known that I'm going to live in Joburg. I wanted to be a star. That's all I was like, I'm going to be a star. I want people to be able to say my name as quick as they say Coca-Cola or Michael Jackson.
I'm that used to be my Michael
thing.
Jackson.
Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? Well, we are not there yet, hopefully. But it was just that thing. I mean, obviously when you're a child, you dream even bigger. Mm-hmm. I think it's when you start adulting, you realize, okay, that was a bit of a reach. That was a bit of a stretch, but you kind of fall towards where you were going, you know? But yeah, I had big dreams. I knew when I was 9, I was like, I'm going to be a superstar. You guys in class.
So, when, Eskolweni, no one is surprised.
No, absolutely.
That this is how your life has turned out.
No, I was a superstar at school already. They knew, when they got 100% for maths, I was like, it's okay. Bring your maths. You'll be working for me when I'm on TV. And, you know, I used to do those things. And my friends, they were going to study law. Others were going to be partners in big law firms. Others wanted to be doctors. Like, when I'm sick, I'll come to your surgery. Okay. And then when I'm in trouble, I'll call you. And you lot, you'll see me on TV.
Oh,
well,
Rami.
then it just sounded like a big fat joke then. And yeah, and here we are.
And then you got to Johannesburg. You know, where was the first stop? I mean, you hear, you have this dream. You are going to be on TV no matter what.
Yeah.
Where did you start?
Well, TV came a bit later, but I had my, you know how parents say, oh yeah, if you want to get into this TV thing, you must find something to fall back on. Oh, I hate that phrase. People mustn't use that phrase on their kids.
That's how our kids were brought up. And I'm glad that we are going to be different in that regard.
Yes.
Because kids can do whatever they want.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. In fact, my first visit to Joburg, it was around that time when I was 10, because then our school brought us to Joburg.
On a trip.
I remember, on a trip, and we were also going to go to theater. We were going to go to the Alhambra Theater. A theater. It was in, just behind Bramfontein.
Yes.
Doornfontein line there.
Yes.
And it was such a beautiful, and I remember we went to watch Nonsense. When we walked in and we saw that production, it felt like, I was like, the show was perfect. The only thing that was missing on the show was me. Kind of a fact.
So that's what.
Yes. And I told my friends, I was like, I'm going to come back here. Then, much later, I think it was in 1989, they brought our drama group to the Market Theater. And I remember we did the tour of the Market Theater, and Mam Nandi Nyembe was the one who was showing us around. It's the most special thing. And they tell you the history of the market. There's water underneath. There's a railway behind us, blah, blah, blah. And they tell us the history of why the theaters are named the way they were named. And I was just looking at Mam Nandi Nyembe going like, she speaks so well. She is just so entertaining. And she was so confident. And I remember she asked, it's like, okay, any of you want to do anything to do with theater? And I was the only one who raised my hand. And then she's like, you, what is your name? I said, Rami Chweni. It's like, oh, okay. Mo papa tele mazo, clap hands for her. She's going to be a star.
Aww,
and the rest
Rami.
Of the class clapped their hands. And they were laughing. And we go like, we knew you were going to say something. But I was like, I thought you guys were going to say the same thing. We are all drama students, you know, from school. But it was amazing. I mean, I was just like, my eyes were wide open. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was at the market. I couldn't believe I was looking at kippies. I was in Joburg.
Mm.
And I told my friends that, you know what?
I'm going to come
back. And the next time I come back to the Market Theater, I will not come back as a guest or a tourist or whatever you want to call it, a road trip, school trip kind of a thing. What I'm going to do, I'm going to be on stage. And true to my word, oh yes, it was in 1987. And true to my word, 1988. So 1988, I did a show at the market.
Wow. Right.
And can I tell you the funniest thing? That memory came back while I was on stage. I was almost bawling. Thankfully, after a song or so, there was a bit of a break. And the girl I was singing with, she was like, are you okay? I was like, shh, it's a long story. I'll explain later. Because it was in the middle of the show. But yes, I came back.
And your first impressions of Joburg, I mean, where did you live? Who did you live with? Where did you live?
Well, I lived in Deep Kloof with my aunt. And I lived in Yeovil with Lucia Mtiani. That life of going to Hillbrow, going to Tando, going to Times Square, going to all, like, just strip, that whole strip, and just meeting people. What I loved and enjoyed about Hillbrow and Yeovil life was that we didn't, nobody knew anyone. But we all behaved like we knew everybody. Like, you would walk in and they would be like, hey, weren't you the one who was here the other day? And it was like, yeah. And the waiters, they kind of know your name.
Yeah.
And you start feeling all important. There was just like a vibe, a community. And what I liked about Yeovil and Hillbrow at that time was that a lot of people who were waiters and waitresses were people who also came in to find fame, to find stardom. So we all share the same dream. And you know, man. I know.
And the size of Soweto,
I mean, I don't stop.
This is why I'm so happy that it's you. So when you compare the size of Sesheho and Soweto and Joburg, like, weren't you ever overwhelmed, Rami? I mean, when I moved, I was in Pretoria for 10 years.
No.
Moved to Joburg and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, took me a while.
No, not even. I was so excited when I came to live with my aunt that I got on a taxi, to town and I didn't get off until the very last stop because I was trying to memorize the streets. Like my first 2 days of
so just learning. Okay, this is Simmons. So
President, and then it goes up. Then you start counting Risik and all the way to end. That's where I was.
And there is an end street.
Yes,
that T junction. End street.
Exactly. There by Natal Street. I memorized it. I memorized Joburg. That's how much in love with Joburg I was.
And you didn't have any warnings. You know, I tell you, Joburg, when I saw a bunch, no one warned you about how bad the Joburg people are.
They did. I knew that, but I was too excited to even get worried about those kind of things. I think at that time I was so poor and so unbothered. I was like, well, what's the least they can take from me? My shoes? Most probably. But other than that, I've got absolutely nothing to offer.
Amazing, yeah. Amazing. Afropolitans 086-000-0959 is the number to call if you'd like to ask Rami a question or comment about all the work that she's done. And the hashtags and sidebar on social media are sidebar Cindy and Kai from Talk. There's been so much on social media. People love you, Rami. People love the work that you do. And, you know, people are so excited to be tuning in and just hearing your story. Because the one thing that I really admire about you is that you're not shy to just be who you are. Yeah. In a world that is so fickle and everyone's trying to be who they're not and always trying to put their best foot forward, you're one of the few people that just, this is who I am, take it or leave. This is the cake I'm serving. You're either going to have a slice of it or you're going to move on. Yeah. And where did that come from?
I think I get that maybe from my mom. My mom is a very confident girl, you know. I think my mom should have been the superstar. It's just that, you know, back in the day when they grew up, I mean, she was a teacher. And I think had she been given a choice or something like that and the opportunity kind of presented itself, no, I think you would be sitting with my mother more than sitting with me.
Because, that is so true. I think that's the one thing that we take for granted about apartheid and colonialism and how black people could only do certain things. There are so many nurses and teachers, and police men and women who had other dreams.
Yeah.
But the system forced them in a certain direction.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's tragic.
Yeah.
It really is tragic.
It is, man. And which is why I admired, remember that Magogo who did that song?
Oh.
And then she passed on.
Mm.
Yeah. I also felt like, yes, for us, she might have passed on too quickly, but I think she probably left fulfilled that she did something that she really, really had wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? And for that, I was just so happy for her. And I was like, you know, I just think God was just gracious enough and merciful enough to just let her have just a glimpse and a kiss of her dream. Mm. Even if it's just for a few months, it's okay. And I'm glad she did that.
I'm so glad. 086-000-0959 is the number to call. Rami Chwene is in the studio and she's on sidebar at Cindy. So Rami, I think 2 weeks ago, I had Judith Supuma on the show.
Oh gosh.
And she told a story.
No.
She told a story.
That one, Yena.
And she told us that she, sang with Upenda Fassie.
Yes, she did.
Right? And she's on stage. And she hears this voice calling her by her nickname that only one person could have known. Rami, please tell us your version of that story. It was such a beautiful story. What happened on that day?
What happened? You know, Judith has always been singing, like since we've known each other. Okay, we're sisters, we're cousins, but all my life. I think
you guys the same age?
No. She's kind of, how old is this one? She's two years older than me.
Oh, so you're nearly the same age.
Yeah, so we're kind of the same age. And all she ever wanted to do was to sing. I think she sang more than she spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always known that she was going to be a superstar. Always, always, always. We've always known that. This one, people are going to hear her voice, mm-hmm. Noma Kanjani. So obviously, our biggest idol is Brenda Fassie. Yes. Oh, and Rebecca Malope, by the way.
Of course.
I don't know if she told you about Rebecca as well. We used to write those lyrics down and sing them word for word. So the next thing, here's Brenda Fassie coming to perform at the Cheney Resort in Limpopo. And she's just been following, literally nagging, trying to get onto for Brenda to notice her. And it happened that one day, when Brenda was doing the show, one of the singers, I don't know whether she went AWOL or the voice finished, but something happened that the way one singer shot. She didn't even have an outfit, Mugel. But guess what? She got on that stage, and when Brenda Fassie was like, "Do you know my songs?" She sang. Brenda was inside the Kumbi, and Judith stood by the window of the Kumbi and started singing for her. And you know how Brenda, how she said, "Yeah, fine, you're getting on stage." And then there she is, getting some little outfit thrown together, together, just so that she can be on stage. And we are waiting for Brenda to come on stage. Then the backing vocalists come on stage, and there's Judith. Oh my God, I screamed my lungs out. I was crying. I kept on going, "Lalo!"
That's the nickname.
"Lalo! Lalo!" And I was waving. At that point, can I tell you, I love Brenda Fassie. At that point, Brenda did not exist. I saw Judith doing that one thing. That one thing that she woke up each and every day to do. Brenda completely, like, I even forgot. Yes, people were screaming and singing along to Brenda, and I kept on going, "La, la," and she did trust me.
That is so you. And
what
that is
a
so
beautiful,
special.
Beautiful. Like, it's one of my best memories. Yeah. Like, for me, after seeing her there with Brenda, and I even forgot what Brenda was wearing. Oh, I know what she was wearing, but I remember more what Judith was wearing. Like, Brenda did not matter at that moment. The only thing that mattered at that time was Judith. That there was a mic in front of her, and there were hundreds and thousands of people watching her, singing along to what she was singing. So eventually when she released her album, I was like, please, come on. I mean,
it was about time.
We've been doing that.
086-00-00959. We have Olga on the line. Olga, welcome to Sidebar with Cindy. And what do you have to say to Urami Chwene?
Good evening, lovely ladies. How are you this evening?
Hello, Olga.
Good, thanks.
I'm fine, thanks. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, my question to you is, how do you draw your strength, or where, rather, do you draw your strength, especially in this pandemic? Because I know it's pretty hard for artists at the moment. So what is it that, what's that one thing that is keeping you going as Uran, in order for you to be motivated, to be able to keep yourself, like be the Rani that was prior to the pandemic?
Yeah.
And just not to lose yourself, because I know it's very hard for artists at the moment.
It is. It's so difficult for artists right now. And it's just one of those things that, you know, when you actually think deeply about it, it will seriously, seriously upset you. But I think one of the things that has made me very strong, very positive, is just the love and the support of family and the love and the support of friends, and just being able to wake up. I'm a person who has a lot of faith. And when I talk about faith, and people sometimes, I always have to explain this, Cindy, to say, when we talk about faith, we don't talk about Christian faith.
Yes.
The same way that you knew yesterday that I was going to be on the show.
Yes.
That is faith. And I am here now. This is faith manifesting what you had, you know, it's now faith showing. So sometimes it's knowing that even with a pandemic, I see us going past it, through it, and over it. And we're going to have to take it one day at a time. So every day when I wake up and I'm alive, and trust me, it's not always like, yay, I'm alive. That is like, oh gosh, I can't believe it. We are here again. But just for the mere fact that I am breathing at that time, it means there's hope to do something new.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to discover something amazing or do something amazing. So it's those kind of things. It's like, okay, why am I still here? Clearly there's something that I could have done or something that I can do. And sometimes it doesn't have to be an amazing discovery, like a eureka moment, but it's just the fact that, okay, if I'm trusted with today, clearly I might as well just breathe through the day. You can even just breathe
and get on with it.
And just get on with it, you know?
Oh,
and
wow.
I think that's what works. You just need to be positive even when you're negative. And it's not motivational speaking, turn to your neighbor, clap your hands and say you can do it. No, it is not that. It is just the mere fact of knowing, as long as there is breath in me, the power of having breath, that's what kind of sets the mood to the kind of day or the kind of week, the kind of month and the kind of year that you will have. Each day when you say, I'll probably see my dad next week. I'll probably see this one and I'll do this the following day. You're already setting faith in motion.
That's profound.
You know, you're setting faith in motion. It's little things. On the phone, you know what? I can't talk now. Can I call you in 10 minutes? You know, 10 minutes is a long time for someone who's on life support. And you saying, I'm going to call you back in 10 minutes. That's faith. And you're pushing it.
That's profound. Thank you so much, Olga. And
thank you, ladies.
We'll take a break. And when I come back from the break, Rami, I want to talk about, the entertainment industry and just, the finances around it. I mean, because I'm now, somewhat in the entertainment industry and I've learned so much. I mean, I have a day job. I'm a medical doctor, but the finances around this kind of work are completely different from having a steady income on the other side. And we'll talk about that when I come back.
All right.
Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Siofansale. As I continue my conversation with Rami Chwene, actress, businesswoman, and all-round nice person, we love Rami. So, Rami, before the break, I was explaining to you, Guti, never have I been so sensitive and so aware of the financial issues within the entertainment industry. I think lockdown really put them to the fore. And for me, the fact that, paychecks are not guaranteed.
No,
right?
Never.
You're on a contract. Your contract could end in a week's time. And that is it. That paycheck is done.
Yes, right? Yes.
How do you guys survive?
We don't. We don't survive. As artists, or creatives rather, because, sometimes people think that the entertainment industry is so small. It comprises of actors, musicians, people that we see on TV, but there's a whole crowd of people who are like working in the background, cast a crew, for instance, people who are running productions and all of that. And we simply do not cope. And 2020 has just worsened the situation. But all I can tell you is that with the way the artists and the creatives are treated, or the way that they live in the country, it is, by the time COVID hit us, we were not surprised, if you know what I mean. We were literally stringing everything along all the time. So it was just like an extra dent, but it's not like we were caught off guard, because our lives are always off guard. The same thing that you say, that this week you have a paycheck, the next week it's gone. That is a pandemic in itself,
And what can we do to change this?
Listen, I mean, a few days ago, I think on Sunday, we had a meeting with Minister Nathi Mthethwa. It was actually a panel discussion that was organized by Freedom Park. And they got the minister to come along. There was a panel of speakers, and Florence Masebe was facilitating. And a lot of people obviously tuned in, and they were all just talking about their frustrations about the entertainment industry. And I think what has made me sad is the realization that every time we engage the ministry, I always get the confirmation to just say, when someone says, in all due respect, you must know they're coming with a disrespectful line.
Yeah.
But honestly, with all due respect, I always get back there and I ask myself, what is the department doing? And that's where it should start. Yes, they say, oh no, actors must, entertainers must talk in one voice. We must unionize ourselves. Unionize ourselves so we can talk to who? Do you understand? So a lot of things are being left, and not just people that we see. People, they think entertainment is people that we see face value because I'm on TV. People know me. There is behind the face that is Rami Chwenye. There's a million.
Chain. It's a whole
a
chain.
A whole chain
from
of
makeup
people
artists, from that, directors, that from cameramen.
Exactly.
It's a whole
that completely
chain
depend and contribute to the so-called powerhouse that someone is. And those people are completely disregarded. They are completely marginalized. Nobody is willing to listen to them. We were talking about the money, the COVID relief money. Yes, apparently money came out. I didn't even bother applying because in my head I was thinking, you know what? I think someone else deserves it more than I do. But even with that, people come in on a daily to say, we have applied. And I was telling the minister that, for instance, the criteria was wrong. You can't be asking for freelancers to give history of employment, bank statements, like the tax returns. There was just like a whole lot of hogwash that for me, it came across as a proper stop nonsense so that people can just give up on trying to even apply for funds in the first place.
There's so much work to be done.
There is so much work to be done.
And I think COVID-19
has exposed
sectors.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, like when it comes to the Department of Arts and Culture, I forget that I'm a good person. Like, let's not even like really. No, you don't. Yo, Cindy, it makes me so angry. Yeah. It is so frustrating. And let me tell you, even though there is a whole lot of work to be done, there is basic ways of doing this. Firstly, can we get people who know what they are doing? Hey, now I can't diagnose you. Mm. I mean, I failed meds. Hello.
I also failed meds. I did
commercial meds. Commercial meds is literally like meds lit. Mm. You know, when they say, if there's three apples in a basket and John eats one, how many apples are left?
No, but I hear you.
Yeah, that is me. Mm. Okay. But I also know that when it comes to arts, I wouldn't expect you to know as much as I do.
Exactly.
Because that's my level of expertise. And sometimes we need to overlook the fact that people are just in entertainment. Just because I say a few lines, it doesn't mean I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I know so much about the industry. Yeah. And not just the industry as art, but the logistics, what goes behind it, what's supposed to go behind it.
Yeah.
I know all those things that, okay, in terms of entertainment, these are some of the things that we need to get the ball rolling. Basic stuff. Why don't we have a normal national database of artists and creatives in the country? When you look for me, you have to call my agent or my manager. Mm. We need a basic database. If the teachers union, kind of sad to. They're in the union and there was another one and all of that. But those people, they're somehow, you know, they can talk to the department and
we need to take the entertainment industry much more seriously.
We need to take the, and also I do not appreciate that when it comes to arts and culture, they go like, they choose all people who are like capable in their fields, who know what they're doing. Dr. Zweli Mkhize is in health, for instance. And then after that, they're like, Maramza.
I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you came out of
Maramza, you, ish. Where can we throw you? Mm. But we know you can kind of, ne? Mm-hmm. And then they throw people like that in the arts and culture. No, arts and culture is big. When you say culture, we're talking about, do you know how many cultures we have in South Africa? Mm. Just in South Africa. We've never explored that. We've never expanded on that. We've never looked into that. Artists must come together. Are you telling me about an artist who lives in Lewakgomo, who didn't get an opportunity like me to come and work in Joburg? The people who are like in Mpumalanga, they don't get opportunities like we get in Joburg. Everyone has to travel to Joburg to come and try and crack it. I know there's Limpopo TV and they're trying their best. Yeah. You know, all of that. But I don't understand why each and every province doesn't have a TV channel infrastructure of some sort. And that is not started by people. That is started by government itself.
Mm. Well, I appreciate your honesty about this because it really is an important topic. Something that, as I said, during COVID-19, I've been horrified by what's been going on.
I am so unhappy. Yo, I'm just, yo, I get so upset. It's like, yo.
So your first big break on TV? What show was it?
On TV, I think I would have to say it was backstage, mm-hmm. because that was the one where I was there the longest. It was definitely backstage. But I had done a few bit parts here and there. And there was a time where I thought, okay, I need to tell this story in a minute. In less than a minute. Okay, my first acting gig, I was hired as an extra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I was with, an agency called Capital Casting. I remember Carol Bauer was there. Shadrach was there as well. There were like a couple of us. So it was a very good agency. And then next thing, they're doing a show called Reflections of Guild. Carol Fassi was in it. And Glenn Gabella, I think that was his surname. Glenn was in it as well. I was so excited. I had short natural hair. And they said, tomorrow you must come. You're going to be there. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, fine, I'm going to be on TV. That day, I didn't go to school. Can I just tell you? I went and sat on a crate on Ilof Street and had my braids done. I did singles. So I didn't even know that. When you get casted with
you
a chisco,
you must go the same way
that you got casted.
Gosh, Rami.
So I get there. I'm flipping my head back and forth. Flipping my head back and forth. Looking all fly, okay? And then I'm ready. And I can see, man, okay, fine. Hey, then there's all these stars. I see them. They go and have their breakfast. And I'm waiting and thinking, okay, why are those people eating by themselves? Like, guys, I'm here. Hello. When do I get to eat? And then, you know, eventually we get to eat. Okay. Then work starts. Scene one, scene two, scene three. And I'm like, okay, when do we, some of us that are sitting here, when do we get to do what we're supposed to do? I got my head did. Okay, also, first, the producer couldn't, AD couldn't recognize me because I didn't look like the person I was. Who are you? Hey, what do you mean who I am? I'm the one who was here yesterday. I only had short hair yesterday. So, but now it got braids because I'm going to be on TV. And they're like, no, you know, throws a fit. You're not supposed to change how you look. Already, Njie, we started on a very bad foot because he just did not appreciate that I had sat down for 7 hours with four different people pulling my head all directions so that I can look good for this thing. And I paid money that would have been my pocket money for the whole month just to get my hair done. Okay, that was the first disrespectful thing. The next thing, then eventually they call us on set. Okay, you guys sit here. Okay, we're going to put food here. Please do not eat the food. Don't eat the food. I'm like, what kind of acting is this? Where we are not supposed to eat food. What am I going to do? Mime. Guess what? Yes, you're going to mime. And don't talk because it's not your scene. You just sit here. And I remember they partnered me with some guy. And I looked at him and was like, this guy's not talented. And now they want me to sit with him. You know? And I'm like, why am I sitting with this untalented guy? Anyway, we shoot and I realize, okay, first scene, we didn't say anything. Okay. And then they're like, okay, then you stand up and then you pass like you're going to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, absolutely. I'm going to walk that. Then I do it. They're like, brilliant. Okay. Now you guys must go change for the next one. Okay. We change for the next one. We shoot. It's starting to get late. My aunt thinks, it's like 7 o'clock in the evening. I come home by 6 o'clock. I'm there. I'm cooking. I've done all of that. Anyway, I don't come. Then at the end of the day, when we finish working, the AD say, okay, guys, since we didn't finish shooting, you guys must come back tomorrow. Same clothes, same everything. And I was like, excuse me. Ho, what are we coming for tomorrow? No, you'll be doing it. Okay, wait, but I came today. I didn't even get to say anything. Nobody gave me a script. Nobody briefed me. Absolutely nothing happened. They're like, yes, but because you're doing extra work, you're not supposed to do anything.
You're in the background.
Like, how do you waste my time like that? How do you waste my time like that? And I say to the AD, I'm not coming tomorrow. He says, you don't have a choice. You're in continuity. I was like, no, I am not coming. He throws his toys. He has this fit, mother of a fit. And tell me, you're not going to do anything and be anything with this attitude. And every people start. I was like, no. I know people start at the bottom. This was not the bottom I was supposed to start at. I am not coming tomorrow. He threw a fit. Yes, needless to say, I've never become an extra again.
But you know, Rami, and
that was my one and only extra job.
And I'm glad you shared that because this is what happens behind the scenes. I mean, being on set, Afropolitans, is fascinating because the end product and what you go through on set it's a different world
altogether.
It is fascinating. There's so many moving parts, and at the end of it all, it just comes together so beautifully. But there's so much work that goes into it.
Yeah, because it's 24 minutes, but it takes the whole day. It takes 12 hours to put that 24 minutes together.
Well, are you a morning person, Rami? I mean, if you have to be on set at 4 o'clock in the morning, how easy is it for you? Oh, so you're a morning person.
I'm a morning person. Yeah,
so you're the one that gets there. You're bubbly. Everything's great
from the beginning. Yeah. So I love that. I love waking up in the morning and doing things. But yes, and then I hate lunchtime. Mm-hmm. Lunchtime, that's when the energy drops. Now
there's a bit of a slump.
You've eaten stampa, and now all of a sudden you realize, oh, I don't have a flat tummy like the one I had at 6 o'clock. Now you must pinzaraiza, waperasabunyu learning, and then the thing still shows. And you just breathe and go like, you know what, whatever it is what it is. Let's just act.
And Rami Trina, the most, the set that you feel you had the most fun, which set was that?
Woo! Wow.
I mean, we all like
the most fun. No, wait. In terms of work?
Yeah, work.
Generally.
Just generally. Just getting there and just, you just knew that I get there and I'm just going to have a good time no matter what.
You know what? The Queen was quite fun. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lie to you. I had so much fun working there, especially with the people, the cast, the crew. Everyone was just like amazing. And I enjoyed backstage because what I liked about backstage is it's like we were literally artists acting as artists because backstage was all about art school. So even when we're not doing anything, we're either singing, dancing, running lines, doing scenarios. That was fun. And I enjoyed Scandal. How do you know that I enjoyed Scandal? My best friends are the ones who were in Scandal. Zoife brother, Renata Stierman. That's where we met officially, me and Renata.
Yeah.
And we talk almost every day. Okay, we talked even today. Like, we became so tight. And it was just because of the atmosphere that we had at Scandal. But I also think it goes also the kind of setup that you have. I mean, I also enjoyed The Republic. I wasn't there. I was just there for a couple of calls.
Yeah.
But it was such a beautiful environment to work in. But back to Scandal, I also think it depends on who runs the show at that time. Because when I was on Scandal the first time, it was Clive Morris production. But I also realized that we have the same fun now when I'm on Isono. And then I also goes like, you know what? It also depends on how you get treated, how you get, you know, it's a lot of things. But yeah, it's easy for me to make friends, have connections and build a life and just have good stories to tell about people.
And mentoring young people on set, is it something that you
best.
Do?
It's the best. It's like my passion. Like my passion. I love it.
So you'll call someone aside and just say, listen, maybe this, you do this scene like this or whatever. What?
No, not even. I mean, there are those people that I know that if I were to tell them about their acting, they wouldn't be offended. But other people, they do get offended. They're like, excuse me, can you focus on your lines, my goggle, and leave me alone with my two lines? No, they do, because people, you know, can I tell you, being an artist, whether is acting, singing, painting, fine art. People, artists, they don't, because they put their hearts out there. It's like they're literally being naked. And now here's someone who doesn't understand the background of their nakedness. And then they're trying to kind of correct it. So it depends. It also depends on the approach. It's how you approach someone. You can't just say, you see that scene? Don't do it like this.
So do you take correction?
Yeah. Absolutely. I would never grow if I didn't take correction.
Mm.
I would never grow. And sometimes correction can be for me or against me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also up to me to take it or not take it. Mm. But you must always be willing to listen, you know, because sometimes listening adds too much. It adds a lot towards someone's growth in general. So it's okay. But I love. So there are other people that literally just come to me without me offering. And there's just, okay, we know you've been doing this for so long, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? And then, you know, it's okay for me to be open and be frank, but also be sensitive to their feelings. You know, you can't just go like, you see that you did? It's not the one, girl. You must work on your accent, ne? That English of yours is not the one. No, you don't do that. There's a way. It's like, okay, have you, one of my favorite, advice is telling artists, or especially actors, is say, if they ask me, I'm like, okay, fine. You know your lines, right? Yes, I know my lines. Now that line, say it in 7 different ways. And out of the 7 different ways, you're going to find the most comfortable. Then they don't think about it in a narrow-minded way. Mm. They start opening their mind to say like, hey, listen, in fact, there's another way of saying this.
Mm.
And I always say to them, like, actors, we can all get one line, but because of the characters that we play, I can, Gracious will say the line in a particular way.
Yeah.
Komocho will say it in a particular way. Pearl would have said it in a different way.
Yeah.
And whatever other characters I've played. Mm. But they are not the same. And that's what works.
That's amazing. That's beautiful, Rami. When we come back, I want to focus on a bit on motherhood. I mean, with the business that you have, you know, where do you find the time to still focus on family and, of course, you know, be bringing up your children? But we'll touch on that when we come back after this.
Because a conversation a day is exactly what the doctor ordered. Sidebar with Cindy every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back to the last part of Sidebar with Cindy with me, Cindy Siwefansale, on Kaya FM 95.9. Rami Chwene is in studio, and it's always great, Afropolitans, to have a guest in studio because, you know, COVID has hit and most interviews are telephonic, so it's always special to have someone in studio, and Rami made sure that she was here, and I really appreciate it. Rami, so, you know, before the break, I had said, Uguti, I wanted to focus on how you juggle, you know, motherhood and your busy life. How has that been?
You know, motherhood is, first, it's quite interesting. Okay, I enjoy motherhood a lot. And I think what has made it easier for me is my family. I'm from a very big family. I've got 5 siblings. So there's 6 of us.
And what number are you?
I'm number 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's 3 girls and 3 boys. But, I mean, with my first 2 girls, I mean, I was a teenage mom, you know, 19 and 20 and 21. Mm-hmm. So we basically raised the kids together. You know, my younger sister, my older sister, even my brothers, you know, they pitched in, and my mother, obviously, and my dad. And, thankfully, because we are such a tight family, it was easy for me to at times even leave my kids with any of them and go work and do other things and focus on my career. But also that has taught me to be able to be, an open-minded person. I think also when you grow up, because based on how we grew up, we are church-based people. You know, my parents are pastors. So, I didn't enjoy church. I mean, I loved it, but I didn't enjoy it. And it has so many restrictions. And I also felt like some of the things that kind of govern us as a people, especially from a religious point of view, a religion point of view, kind of put so much limit to what a person can actually become. It puts so many reservations, and it puts so many limitations. And that's what I didn't want for my kids. I want my kids, I've always wanted my kids to be free thinkers. And okay, they're like ridiculously hardcore free thinkers, and they're not afraid to tell you what they think, but which is something that I admire. So I've raised very strong girls. I mean, I was saying that Butsilo, you know, Butsilo went to boarding school yesterday. She was so excited, and she went and she cut her hair off. She shaved her hair off because also, you know, being a ballerina without hair, it's just going to be looking beautiful. So good. You know, she's addicted to Toriso, for instance. She loves Toriso Mahongwa. She always can I please see your friend? And I'm scared to tell her that Toriso is actually not my friend. Toriso is Tula's friend, and I just happen to be Tula's friend. But we follow Toriso everywhere. And I wanted to say, because I saw that Toriso was begging the country, I just like, Toriso, please come and meet my child before you go. I was like, oh my gosh, how do I start that conversation? Oh, she's completely in love. And she just loves the possibilities of just trading into those different places where black people were not necessarily given an opportunity to. But, you know, being a mother is being able to acknowledge that as much as you're a mother, you're also still an individual, and you're also raising individuals
who can think for
themselves. And, you know, I don't even say allow them, because allowing is like you give them permission. You just let them be. You know, they must make their own decisions, make their own mistakes, learn from them, grow from them. You can all, you know, when you, I always say from 0 to 7, you're like literally a mother. 7 to 14, 7 to 18, you're like a guardian. Like a guardian in terms of legal, you know, they can't sign stuff, they can't do things without you. And from 18 onwards, when they're allowed now to can start drinking and do all those other things, I think that's when you realize that you now just become a sounding board.
Yeah.
For them to come back to you, they say, I was thinking of doing this. What do you think? And you can't just, your answer can never be no.
It's difficult. I mean, I think of an incident recently. Una indeed decided to cut her hair.
Yeah.
And I mean, my daughter has big, beautiful, curly
and you cried
hair.
Because you were thinking, I kept plaiting my hair all my life.
So I'm saying to her, so I said to her, I initially said you can't cut your hair. And she looked at me because I don't have hair.
Yeah.
So my daughter gave me this look as in, well, excuse me. And for 2 days we had this back and forth, and eventually I agreed, okay, you can cut your hair. And I remembered, I mean, I've been thinking about that. I was telling Auntie as well, mm-hmm. Uguti, when I was a child, my hairstyles were determined by my mother.
Yeah.
My mom told me what I may or may not do with my hair.
Yeah.
And those days are past. Our kids can do what they want to do, and we have to respect their autonomy.
Exactly.
And that's been the most challenging thing for me as a mommy to a 12-year-old who's going to be 13 this year. Just respecting her space, respecting her decisions, and letting her be. It's really hard for me.
I need a support group.
That's a shampoo. So I have your number. I will call you when I need help. But you know, let's take a call. Let's take Ukumo. Ukumo, thank you for joining us on Sidebar, Cindy. And you know, Rami's on air. What do you have to say to Urami?
Hi, ladies. Hi, Dr. Cindy.
Hi.
And hi, Rami.
Hi, Ukumo.
Rami, I just want to say, firstly, right, you are such a queen. I don't want to lie. You are so real. You're amazing. You're so gracious, man. Not in that other sense, but in the real sense of what gracious means as a word. You're very graceful as well. But I've just got two questions for you, you know. And my first question is, what do you think is your power? And my second one to you is, at what point in your life did you feel that this is my turning point? Whether it was your career or being a mom or in business.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, don't worry. Those are very easy questions, believe it or not.
Okay.
My turning point, and one of the best decisions I always tell people is that I got divorced. And in fact, had I not been divorced, today would have been my 20th anniversary. Imagine. I was like, Yeah, because some store sent me a message going, happy 20th anniversary. I was like, anniversary of what? I was like, okay.
Gonje.
That's what we're talking about. But, and I say that, and sometimes people, they think that I'm being personal about it. It is not about being divorced from a person or from a spouse, but it is about the decisions that came with that. When I put my cards on the table, I realized that there's some things that I would want to do. There's a journey that I'm taking as a person.
Wow.
And some of the things are hindering me.
Mm.
And that being one of the biggest things. And I had to choose myself, basically.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most powerful things for me to do. And where is my power? I find power in my level of faith. My faith is like, I've got the craziest of faiths. You don't even want to get into that. But more than anything, is the ability to surrender. I do not force things. I don't force things. I think that things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Could I have changed it? Yeah. No. Okay, then maybe that's how it was supposed to be. What is it that I could have done to make it better? But also, when you look at things, when I look at life, I don't look at only that something bad happened to me. It's like, okay, what have I learned from that experience so that it can turn into something beautiful, you know? And for me, that's where I draw my strength from. I honestly don't have time for negative energy. Mm-hmm. And I don't say negative energy is not there. It is there.
Yeah.
I see it. I acknowledge it, but I just won't give it attention.
Well, thank you so much for that.
Wow.
Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you. Rami, that's profound. And I think choosing yourself is something that's really important. I think when I counsel patients who are going through relationship issues, I always say to them, choose yourself.
Yeah.
You have to choose yourself, because if you don't and you persevere in a relationship that's not working, you build up resentment and then there's negativity and you can't live like that, especially not now in 2020 and 2021, where we're just trying to survive day to day. You know, we know that COVID is here. We don't know when it's going to end, but we need to just, you know, keep positive.
Go with the flow, absolutely.
We have Lerato on the line. Lerato, welcome to the show. And what do you have to say to Urami?
Hello, Lerato.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Well, thank you. I don't have any question or anything. I just wanted to come through and share some love, as my name, you know, says Lerato. I just wanted to say, this is a beautiful interview that I'm listening to. You are so funny. I apologize if if you do write, and I don't know that, but I think
I do write.
She does write, and we'll speak about that. Okay. Urami has written a book, and we'll talk about that. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for listening.
Please.
Yeah.
Please continue the writing. You are very, you've got a good sense of humor. I would love to, indulge in some of your content. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lerato.
Thank you for supporting also the queer community.
Yay! Yeah.
Okay, you just don't see. I'm wearing my Tepo t-shirt.
Beautiful shirt. We'll take a picture afterwards. We'll make sure we post it.
My beautiful flag on my chest.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all I wanted to
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lerato. So yeah, you wrote a book, Rami. Tell us about your book.
That's my niece, my first niece, and she thinks she's entitled to my life. Well, she is. She wants my t-shirt. No, Khetja, no.
So your book?
My book. Which one? The first one or the second one?
Tell us about both of them.
Well, my first one is a memoir, is short stories about my life and how I grew up, you know, with my family and how I came to Joburg. Basically, everything that we've spoken about is in my book. It's called We Kiss the Sun and Embrace the Moon. And my second book is fiction. I'm writing lies and lies and lies because lies sell. Okay, I'm kidding. But I just thought it would be because I think I'm also a good storyteller.
You are. Definitely, being elaborate and
all of that. And I think we need a lot of African content that people relate to. And also, I just translated Dr. Eskiam Patel's book, Father Come Home, into Sepedi. It's now called Tate Tla Gae. And we are busy rehearsing the show at the Market Theatre. So the show will kind of open from the 9th of Feb, if I'm not mistaken, but tickets are out there already. So it was such a thrill and a treat for me to be, you know, to be given such an amazing book because Professor Eskiam Patel is such a giant.
Amazing.
And just being given an opportunity to translate his book into Sepedi. And now I can officially call myself an author, guys, because I have translated Dr. Eskiam Patel's book.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, Rami. That's amazing. And who are some of your closest friends? I mean, as we go towards the end of the show, some of your closest friends,
My sisters. You said in the industry.
Yeah,
okay.
In the industry.
My sister. Okay, my mother, and it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Matrini. Renata, Bonnie. Yo, the list is endless. And we've got Nana, there's Claire. There is Tabiso Matlape. And there is... Yo! My list is so long. There's so many.
And when you're not writing...
And I've got my beautiful people. I've got Dineo. I've got Louisa McDonald. I've got Motsoaledi Sumo. I call them the little rebels because they're just so amazing. And of course, and my children are my bestest friends. Kifule and Tateng, they help me raise Botshelo Shame. And half of the things I don't even know. I just buy stuff and now I'm home alone. Sometimes I have to ask, Ghana, how do we press this thing? Because I just bought and left it and they're the ones who have been doing it. And my daughter Kifule, it was her first anniversary on the first. Happy anniversary to Kifule in Africa. They've made me such a proud mother and mother-in-law. I love them. They're so amazing. And Tateng, who's now an independent, and she has come to the realization that she cannot be drinking champagne, champopo when she feels like, and she cannot be buying Woody's food.
Adulting is such a lot. I know. It's too much.
Good luck. Bye. Kind of a vibe.
And how do you relax? You know, when you're not working, what do you do to relax?
If I manage to get some time to relax, I try and sleep, but I hardly sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to K-dramas. I'm trying to...
Oh, no, I'm also into K-dramas now. Oh my goodness.
I've watched The World of
the Married. Have you watched The World of the Married?
I've watched all of. It's crazy. And obviously I love South African content. And yes, I think of other different stories to write. And I just find life so interesting and intriguing. And because I know you're going to run out of time, but one of the things that I want to say and I want to ask everybody, I saw there was a big debate about Richmond's Shibelani yesterday.
Yes.
If anything, I would like to own as much of South African designers as possible content. I want my furniture to be local. I want my clothes. I mean, you have to be intentional about this. You have to be intentional about it. It's a conscious decision. You know, I wear a lot of Tula. I wear a lot of Rubicon, Machere. You know, now I've started a relationship with Tepo. Yeah. I got my t-shirts. You know, Africa, Your Time Is Now, Maria McCloy. Oh, the list is endless of all these people that are coming up. Kifilo, my daughter, has also started a new line that is coming out soon.
I don't think I don't know if I was supposed to if you say
can,
that.
If yeah. I can spend 40,000 rand on LV, then I can spend 40,000 rand on Rich Minisi. It's a simple
and I love sense. It when I open my closet, I see all these local names and all these next door surnames.
I love it, Rami. We have to be intentional about this. We have to be intentional. But thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you so much for just being so honest and open. As just as I thought you were going to be, you were amazing. So thank you so much, Rami. And I look forward to what you have lined up for us in theater on the 9th of February.
Yay! Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Yay!
Afropolitan, stay home, stay safe, and do stay tuned for Okaya Sithole standing in for Michael Mutuneng Bill coming up at 8 p.m. on The Law Report.